friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. On Thursday's show, we previewed the NBA Finals opener between the Toronto Raptors and the defending champion Golden State Warriors. I'll give you one clue as to which team is now up 1-0. All anyone wants to talk about this Friday morning is Cameroon's Pascal Siakam. I'll let the Associated Press's John Leatherby take it from here.
The Toronto Raptors got a 32-point night from Pascal Siakam to open the NBA Finals with a 118-109 win at home. Siakam with a huge stat line, adding 8 rebounds and 5 assists, shooting 14 of 17 from the field.
Whatever the defense gives me, you know, that's what I always say, kind of play off of that, and whatever is open, just taking them with confidence and you know, believing in myself.
The Toronto defense was stifling, especially in the final 5 minutes, as the Raptors made the win a comfortable one. Steph Curry was Golden State and the game's top scorer. He had 34 points, going 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. Klay Thompson added 21. Game 2 is Sunday night. John Leatherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. It's the first finals opener the Warriors have lost in 5 years, and it seemed as if the Raptors were not worried about their high-powered opponent from the West. Kawhi Leonard talked after the game about how to handle playing the Warriors, who come in with one of the most outstanding finals track records in decades.
They're a great basketball team. Just keep fighting, keep striving, don't give up. And just have a confidence. Just have confidence in yourself that you're going to win the game. I mean, that's all you could do. Lay it out on the floor and see what happens.
That's Kawhi Leonard of the Raptors, whose 23 points on Thursday night were second to Pascal Siakam's 32. One note about Siakam, who didn't start playing basketball seriously until he was about 15 years old. The first NBA game he ever saw was also the first ever NBA game he played in as a rookie back in 2016 with the Raptors. And now he's got the Raptors up 1-0 in the NBA Finals. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We'll get back to some more sports here in the USA in just a bit, but first we'll have this report on the FIFA Under-20 World Cup and some African soccer news from our friend Samson Omale. Welcome to the show, Samson.
To begin, the sports from the Under-20 FIFA World Cup currently on the way in Poland, where the Nigerian Under-20 team, the Flying Eagles, on Thursday night battled to a 1-1 draw against Ukraine in their final group game to qualify for the next round. The Flying Eagles required a victory to be double sure of their place in the round of 16, but they were still able to pull through as one of the best losers, having recorded a big win against Qatar. And now to the elite African club competition, the CAF Champions League, where Esperance du Tunis will take on Wydad Casablanca in the 2018-2019 CAF Champions League final second leg clash later tonight. The encounter is scheduled to be played at the Stade Olympique de Reims in the Tunisian city of Reims. The two teams played a 1-1 stalemate in the first leg match, which was played in the Moroccan city of Rabat last weekend. On ahead of the 2019 African Cup of Nations in Egypt, the Confederation of African Football President Ahmed Ahmed said a special committee has been set up to deal with security concerns as the African Cup of Nations in Egypt begins next month. At least 12 people were injured when an explosion hit a bus carrying mostly South African tourists in Cairo 10 days ago. Egyptian Interior Ministry said recently that militant group Hassam were planning a series of attacks in the country to create an atmosphere of chaos. The Nations Cup will feature 24 teams from around the continent to play at venues in Cairo, Alexandria, Ismailia, and Suez from June the 21st to July the 19th. In cricket news, South African national cricket captain Faf du Plessis admitted his team were comprehensively outplayed by England in their Cricket World Cup opener on Thursday in London. Host England made 311 for 8 after being sent into a bat by du Plessis before bowling out the South Africans for 207 to start their campaign with an emphatic 104-run victory at the Oval. Captain Faf du Plessis told reporters that England were better in all three facets of the game.
As disappointed as we are with our performances today, you have to make sure you learn from it quickly and put every single doubt to bed, because there is a next game that you've got to make sure you play good cricket again.
And finally, South Africa's Olympic 800 meters champion Caster Semenya has filed an appeal to Switzerland's Federal Supreme Court in response to losing her case against restricting testosterone levels in female runners. The 28-year-old Caster Semenya, in a statement on Wednesday after lodging the appeal, was quoted as saying, "I am a woman and I'm a world-class athlete. The IWAF will not drug me or stop me from being who I am." End of quote. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're deep into the first week of the French Open at the famed Roland Garros Stadium in Paris. And so far, the big names are all still alive in the tournament. Our friend Jim Stevenson, who produces the weekly The Game Room podcast here at VOA, did a nice job previewing this year's tournament. If you've forgotten, last year's tournament was won by Spain's Rafael Nadal and Romania's Simona Halep. This year, Nadal is going for his 12th clay court title.
Spanish tennis great Rafael Nadal has won the French Open 11 times. He is seeking to become just the second player after Martina Navratilova to win the same event a dozen times. Nadal says his career playing strategy has been simple.
What I did during all my career probably is go on court with a goal to improve something. And that make me feel alive always and make me feel passionate about the process of improving anything.
As for perhaps the greatest player of all time,
I really don't know how far I can go in this event.
Roger Federer of Switzerland is playing in his first clay season in 3 years and making his first appearance at Roland Garros since 2015.
Now I'm very happy I took that decision because I enjoyed Madrid, I enjoyed Rome, and I'm happy to be here. The reception I got today was crazy. It was really nice to see a full stadium for a first round like this. It was a beauty, so I'm very, very happy.
Things have changed since Federer last played in Paris. There's a completely new center court and show court with upgraded arenas and a roof coming next year.
I think it was helpful that the stadium was full, so you don't see the beige seats. You know, I feel like when it's not full, you feel like it's a completely different stadium. But as mine was full, I felt like it was actually very close to how it's been in the past. In practice, you know, when it was empty, I saw a lot of glass and I saw a lot of concrete, and I thought, oh, it's quite different. But as the stadium was full, I thought the atmosphere was great and it was nice playing in there.
World number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia is approaching the French Open differently from last year.
Quite different situation for me now than it was 12 months ago, obviously very different, and I put myself in a situation where I can actually make history of tennis again, and obviously I have a very high ambitions for this tournament. It's not a secret, but at the same time, it's not the first time that I'm facing this kind of circumstances. It's not the first Grand Slam in my career. I've played so many. I know it's 2 weeks potentially long, and I just need to be in my lockdown, so to say, mentally, and just do things that have worked for me in the past.
Rising Greek star Stefanos Tsitsipas is taking his time as he tries to play through the draw.
I'll have to take it match by match. If I think too far, things might turn out to go reverse and go the other way around, so I don't want to think that far. obviously I want to stay here as long as possible because the vibe of this tournament is nice. So let's just take it step by step.
Tsitsipas says each of the four majors has a unique personality.
I would say that there's less traffic in Melbourne than here. I'll have to admit that. I would say these two. I would say that Melbourne and Wimbledon are the quietest, most... How can I say? There's not too much noise going on. French Open and US Open are kind of the noisy ones, in my opinion. Obviously, there's a lot of attention in Wimbledon because that's the most historical tournament ever.
In early play among the women, American Serena Williams always draws attention, and this year is facing new playing challenges.
Physically, I felt pretty good. I've had a lot of injuries. I'm usually not an injured player, but sprained my ankle in Australia, and everything kind of went downhill from there, so... I think I'm finally on the mend, but it's been a really interesting year for me thus far.
And of course, it wouldn't be a major tournament without a Serena outfit making news.
On the outfit, it has words that has, it's in French, and it says queen, it says champion, and it says mom, and those are things that are a lot, mean a lot to me and reminders for me. And for everyone that, you know, that wants to wear it, just remind everyone that they... you know, can be champions and are queens. So I love that about it.
Thank you, Jim. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We'll have more for you as the French Open moves on. As I mentioned yesterday, there's another North American sports championship being contested, and that's in ice hockey, the National Hockey League. The Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues are tied one game apiece in the best-of-seven series. We're joined now on the sunny side of sports by my former Brandeis University classmate, Ari Yolcutt. Ari is a television producer in New York City, a writer and producer. Ari joined us on the show before the Super Bowl to talk about his connection to the Los Angeles Rams back in February. Of course, the Los Angeles Rams had come from St. Louis, but before that, they were in Los Angeles, and Ari got us up to date on kind of the difficult situation that he found himself in, having been a St. Louis Rams fan and wondering whether or not he was going to cheer for the Rams in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Ari, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dan.
So actually, let's go back in time a couple of months, 3-4 months. Patriots end up winning the Super Bowl, really suppressing all of that exciting Rams offense. What was your reaction to the Rams losing in the Super Bowl back in February?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm in a much better mood than I was the last time we spoke because my wishes came true, and the Patriots denied the Rams the Super Bowl championship. And so all of us here who watched it from St. Louis, who I had said, you know, we all kind of harbor this resentment towards the organization, we're very happy. So it was a very positive Super Bowl experience for me and my kind of crew who hangs out and watches the game.
So that actually is a good segue to bring us to where we are today here at the very end of May, heading into June. We're talking about the Stanley Cup Finals. We've
right.
got the St. Louis Blues, the NHL team in St. Louis, playing against the Boston Bruins, the venerable Boston Bruins that have a number of championships, along with the other Boston sports teams that seem to be in the championships of their respective sports almost every year. We have a team that has a St. Louis connection, once again, playing a team with the Boston connection in the Stanley Cup Finals. The series started off in Boston with the Bruins winning the first game of the series, coming back from a 2-0 deficit to win 4-2. Ari, why don't you set the table for us? I heard that you were in the stands for that game.
Yeah, I was. Actually, one interesting fact that you mentioned that is an interesting trivia piece is that St. Louis and Boston are the only two cities that have ever met in the championship game of all four major United States sports. So hockey, the Stanley Cup Finals, the Super Bowl, the World Series, and the NBA Finals. The only two cities that have ever met in all four are St. Louis and Boston. So we have this weird history, these two cities, in terms of sports. And for the most part, Boston has come out on top. So the rivalry kind of continues here. And the Blues, the game on Monday night, going to the game and getting to see your team. In my lifetime, the Blues had never been in a Stanley Cup Finals. I think the last time was 1970, which was before I was born. And the Bruins, like you mentioned, they're in one of the original, you know, teams in the NHL. Like they, after the Canadian teams, Chicago Blackhawks and the Bruins, they're old school hockey teams. So the Blues, who were an expansion team in the 60s, who were new, you know, a team that came into the league, they couldn't be more polar opposites in terms of their history. And so the Blues getting to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in my life has been phenomenal. It's like a childhood dream, literally. One since I was 7 years old and would go to games. I dreamt of them getting to the Stanley Cup Finals. I've gone to high school. I've gone to college. I've gotten married. I've had kids. And in all those years, every year the hockey playoffs would come around, the Blues were always a good team. Only a few years, I think only like 8 years or 9 years, did they not make the playoffs in my lifetime, which is, you know, 40-something years at this point. So the fact that they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals and the fact that they were playing in Boston, which is only a 3.5-hour ride from New York, was an automatic, sign that me and my crew of St. Louis Blues fans should go to the game. So we went on Monday night. It was electric. That's the best way to describe it. It was loud. Everybody was excited and pumped up. It was a little scary being there as the opposing fans, but I wouldn't have traded it for the world. I spent hundreds of dollars for the ticket, but I didn't think twice about it because I've been waiting for this moment since I was 7.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with my former college classmate, a television writer and producer in New York City, Ari Yolcutt, and a lifelong St. Louis sports fan. Now, Ari, I was in the television production truck about a month ago working for the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast, and I have to say that the people that work in St. Louis on baseball were more interested in paying attention to what was going on in the Blues playoff game than what was happening on the baseball field here in Washington. Do you think that's representative of how the St. Louis sports fans feel right now about this Blues playoff run?
Yeah, it's a two-sport city. So the Cardinals are the king of the city. You know, baseball is number one. But the Blues are a pretty respected, you know, I would say younger sibling. They've, like I said, the Cardinals, they've won many championships, second to the Yankees only in terms of the number of world championships. But the Blues, they're kind of like the lovable, like good but not great younger sibling who never quite gets to the mountaintop but is always close. And so, you know, football season comes around. There's no football team left in St. Louis. Everybody watches just whoever they're watching. The Super Bowl rolls around. And once the Super Bowl's over, the sport that fills the vacuum of St. Louis fandom is hockey because baseball hasn't started yet. So everybody gets on the Blues train. You follow them into the playoffs, which usually start, you know, March and go all the way through June if you're lucky enough. And so that's what I would say is in St. Louis, everybody loves both teams because it's really all they have. And the Blues, because we haven't quenched our thirst of success in so long, kind of get the fervor of the city up and running around this time of the year.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're talking with Ari Yolcutt. Ari, I mentioned on Thursday's show that the Blues had been in the Stanley Cup Finals before, but never won a game in a Finals series until Wednesday night, winning in overtime against the Bruins, evening the series 1-1. What was your reaction to seeing the Blues make that sort of walk-off victorious goal on Wednesday night?
I can't exactly put it into words, but I'll say what said when we were there together, which was, it was almost like literally unbelievable. When we went to the game on the other night, the first game, we were like, all we want to do is come out with one win, because they were in the Stanley Cup Finals a couple times back in the 60s and 1970. They never won a game. They get swept. So we're like, all we want is the first step is them to win a game. So when they won the game last, we lost when we were there, but last night we won. We were jumping for joy. We were like, this is the pinnacle of our hockey fandom because they finally pulled out this victory. And, you know, with sports in this day and age, with the internet, all you do is you hear about the game the night before for the next 24 hours. And when they lose, it's the worst. You avoid ESPN, you avoid newspapers, you avoid the internet. You don't want to hear it. But last night after they won, the way I can describe it to you is we were like, oh my God, these next 2 days until the next game are going to be the greatest, because we can relive their first ever win in the Stanley Cup Finals. So we were ecstatic.
Thank you, Ari. We'll keep you updated here on the sunny side of sports as the series continues. Speaking of finals, we've got the Champions League final to look forward to on Saturday. My colleague Gwen Uten gets us ready for the big game with this report. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporting greetings, Dan. Tens of thousands of football fans continue to arrive in Madrid ahead of Saturday's Champions League final. On Thursday, fans got an up-close and personal look at the Champions League trophy as it was paraded through the streets of the Spanish capital. Liverpool and Tottenham supporters who were there said they could not miss the chance to see their team take home the coveted trophy, even if they hadn't bought a ticket.
I'm looking for tickets. I don't know yet. But I think it's going to be like both teams playing attacking football. Like, everyone wants to be there, so it's going to be a good match, definitely.
It's like a real dream, to be honest with you. I never thought Tottenham would ever be in the Champions League final. So to come here and be in the fan park and be with my family, it's just like a dream for me.
Speaking to a guy over there, he's saying €2,000 and €3,000 for tickets. I was at the ground yesterday, saw guys getting arrested with fake tickets. So they were again $2,000-$3,000 is the figures being quoted.
It's estimated that 100,000 fans from both sides will make the journey to the Champions League final, and those without tickets are being warned against assuming they'll be able to snag one once they arrive in Madrid. Saturday's match will take place inside the Wanda Metropolitano Stadium, a 68,000-seater that authorities expect will be filled to near capacity. The World Football Summit has named the stadium the best in the world, and it's seen as the perfect venue to watch European soccer's showpiece event. It will be the first all-English Champions League final in over a decade, and Tottenham has reached this stage for the first time in their history. The Spurs finished fourth in the Premier League and made their final push to reach the Champions League final without star striker Harry Kane, who's been off the pitch since April with an ankle injury. However, Kane looked injury-free leading up to Saturday, and he says it's up to manager Mauricio Pochettino to determine his readiness to play in the final match.
I started training with the team last week. So far, no problems, which is great. So, I guess that's down to the manager. He'll kind of assess me over this next week and see if I'm ready to start or play. But from my point of view, I feel good. So I just want to make sure I'm ready for anything.
And Tottenham midfielder Dele Alli says his team has nothing left to prove.
I think we proved that we're up there with the best teams in the world. And, you know, it's another opportunity to show that and to win the Champions League for Tottenham and, you know, to get the reward for the hard work we've been putting in the training field. And, you know, the fans deserve it as well for how they've supported us over these years together.
Premier League runners-up Liverpool are back on familiar ground. The Reds reached the Champions League final last year, where they fell to Real Madrid, an experience Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says was like swallowing bad-tasting medicine. But Klopp says the loss recharged his team, and that sentiment was echoed by Liverpool defender Virgil van Dijk.
The reality is that we're in the final right now. We lost it last year. We've learned a lot over the year, also from the final last year, and hopefully we can use the Saturday. And we know it's just one game. It's just anything can happen, but we're going to prepare us for any scenario.
And Senegalese forward Sadio Mane says Liverpool has no plans of coming up short this year.
We were a little bit disappointed last season because we want to win it, but in the same time, I think we take it positive, and we came back this year as well. So I think we're going to use our experience to win this year.
Liverpool are seeking their sixth European Cup and their second Champions League title since winning it in 2005. Meanwhile, Tottenham are hoping to lift the Champions League trophy for the first time in their history. The two English teams kick off in Madrid on Saturday. And that's all from me for today and for the week. It's back over to you, Dan. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Gwen. I'll be excited to follow the match on Saturday, and we'll have the news of who won on Monday's show. And that wraps up the month of May here on the sunny side of sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Workinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. Thanks to Sonny Young for having me in for these couple days. I'll be back on Monday. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Promoting international religious freedom has been a key component of America's foreign policy since 1998. Host Carol Castiel sits down with Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback. Brownback talks about countries of particular concern. He also lauds countries that are trying to promote greater religious tolerance and pluralism. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A team of Japanese astronomers says they have observed about 1,800 new supernovae in the distant universe. The team says 400 of them are classified as Type 1A supernovae, with 58 of them more than 8 billion light years from Earth. Astronomers consider these Type 1A supernovae to be valuable because they are used to measure the expansion of the universe. To make their discoveries, the astronomers use the National Astronomical Observatory of Japan's Subaru Telescope atop Mauna Kea in Hawaii. A supernova is the quick but catastrophic explosion that marks the end of a massive star's life. The explosion produces a light so bright that it can outshine an entire galaxy. A supernova may take weeks or months to reach maximum brightness. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Promoting international religious freedom has been a key component of America's foreign policy since 1998. Host Carol Castiel sits down with Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback. Brownback talks about countries of particular concern. He also lauds countries that are trying to promote greater religious tolerance and pluralism. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News.